Well, good morning
Good
there.
morning, Dr. T. Hello. Hang on. Try to get this further back. Chopping my head. There we go.
You're chopping
Can
your
you
head
see?
off. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So why don't you tell everyone the appropriate way to say your name, because I'm sure I butchered it.
Oh, it's fine. It always happens. It's Renate Stralhoff. My surname is Swiss. So and many people call me Strala la la la. They give up after the la.
So we got the Renate right, correct?
You did get the Renate right.
Yes. So my first question for you, before you explain to us everything you're doing, you know, who is Sam? You know, you said we are not Sam. Who's Sam? I mean, you're somebody else. So tell us who is Sam?
Who is Sam? Mm-hmm. The big question, isn't it? So my background is telco marketing, and back in 2006 and 7, I was part of a very small team, and we rolled out what would become the largest 3GSM mobile network in Australia. And there was a team of 8 of us, and it was an incredible campaign. It was the first time we could send people off to do picture messages and videos on the go. And what I thought I was doing was connecting people in a way that was very meaningful. Unfortunately, 3 months after the rollout of this network, my husband started to ask me questions around certain symptoms that he was feeling, particularly around his skin and his sleep. And he said, look, can you go out and investigate if there's, you know, what the safety, what's the story with safety? And so I found through the research going internally that 38% of my market were concerned about health effects. So naturally, that propelled me to go to the research department. And I had a friend there, and I said to him, I want to talk to you about safety testing. And he took me out of the office and said, I'm going to take you out for a coffee to explain this to you. And what he told me was that ever since the mid-90s, mobile phones are being tested on a plastic mannequin called Sam. He is a specific anthropomorphic mannequin. It's just a really big word for plastic dummy. That's the acronym, specific anthropomorphic mannequin, SAM. It's a plastic dummy. They fill his head with liquid. It's like a bowling ball head. It's, you know, it was based on the fittest men in our society. It was the top 10% of military recruits. They took a military recruit back in the late 80s and they said, that's our ideal mobile phone user. And they created a plastic mannequin and they filled him with liquid, and that's how they test mobile phones for safety. He's on a 6-minute call, and if his head doesn't heat up by more than 1 degree Celsius, then that phone is deemed safe. And what the industry get to do, the industry get to choose what laboratory they want to use. They only have to test one device. And what we know is that children absorb 150% more radiation than this dummy Sam. So that's who Sam is. That's why we are not dummies. We are not Sam. And Children's Health Defence, along with Environmental Health Trust, they've taken, in early January this year, they took the FCC to court over these fraudulent, negligent tests that have been going on for over 25 years.
Wow, what an amazing story. What a great explanation. You know, that makes sense now, that when I go out and I looked at your website, when I saw those dummies and plastic things there, now it makes sense what that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tested this on plastic dolls to see whether or not it heated up. I mean, I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless. Is that, now, that's, I'm assuming that the same fake testing studies have been done with 3G, 4G, 5G all over the world, not just in Australia. Is that correct?
That is correct. So every single mobile phone since the mid-90s, this is an international standard of way of testing, has been tested on SAM, this plastic mannequin. Every single device across the world is using this test. It's a standardized test. It's a non-biological test, which means he's got no skin, no organs, no bones, no DNA, no cells. He has no reproductive organs. It is not a biological test. So the test is rigged. And if you think deeper into this problem, the test was rigged because it got us addicted to devices. So when you know from the onset that you're using a non-biological test, and for generations, we're talking for two decades now, we've had scientists up in arms, EMF scientists, the international renowned EMF scientists, saying this is a non-biological test. on a bowling ball head that represents only 3% of the world's population, because only 3% of the world's population are adult males, 6 foot 2 tall, 100 kilogram heads. 5 kilogram heads and 100 kilogram in weight. So that's what the military recruit was based on, that they used for this dummy. And only 3% of the world's population fit that category, in effect 0%, because we're not dummies. But there's no wiring and firing of the brain. It doesn't measure the reproductive organs and so on and so forth. It measures for thermal effects only. So when you're measuring in a rigged way, this is a fraudulent test, you have a population addicted to technology. And once you've got them addicted, you can surveil them. And that was always their process.
Holy cow. Wow. I mean, I'm just taking that all in. I'm sure that the rest, yeah, somebody just typed in there 97%. Wow, exactly. Now, you said, just to be clear, you said that children absorb 150% more radiation than adults. Is that correct?
That, no, 150% more radiation than this dummy Sam.
Oh.
And that's right. So that's been tested, that children absorb 150% more than this dummy. And when you're measuring a child versus an adult, a child absorbs twice as much as an adult.
So do these little things do anything, or are they just harmful?
Well, I've got the air ones. These ones definitely do something. Yes. And ideally what you want is Ethernet cables. So if you can see what that is, these are hardwiring solutions for your home. We have to actually start changing our behavior with technology. It's really easy to point the finger at the corruption because it's so blatantly obvious. But where we have to really start to turn the tide is with our own behavior. So we have to start to look at how we're using technology at home. Are we slowing down with technology, or are we speeding up, which is what this industry wants? So we can't really start having that conversation around responsibility unless we're willing to change our behaviors. Because once we know something, we can't switch it off. And what we know is that mobile phones have never been properly safety tested, and putting this device in the lap of children is where my biggest concern is. In schools, as, you know, short-term babysitters so that you can have some time out. This is really dangerous stuff. And there's over 2,000 peer-reviewed reports that show that there is biological harm from these wireless devices. And in fact, the top insurers in the world, which are Swiss Re and Lloyds of London, they will not insure the wireless industry. So they deem it as high risk.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything
wow.
from people think, you know, when it comes to mobile phone and radiation, you know, they jump to the conclusion of it causes cancer, it doesn't cause cancer. But we have to think many steps before, and that is, you know, it starts with things like sleep disruption or headaches or dizziness, skin rashes, everything from infertility, and it leads up to cancer. It is, you know, there are these stages that people go through with illness, and I think to think that, you know, it hasn't caused me cancer, it should be okay. She'll be right, mate. It's not the right way to go.
So what are the list of types of symptoms that people should be recognizing as associated with their EMF or their devices?
Well, brain fog is one of the most common. So, you know, people complaining of brain fog or short-term memory and concentration issues, sleep disruption, definitely. So if you're sleeping with your mobile phone right next to your head as an alarm clock, number one thing is you've got to take that phone out of your place of sleep. You can turn off your Wi-Fi at night. You don't need Wi-Fi. Better yet, you should hardwire your homes, which means you can use the internet. It's just hardwired. And we've also got to start making ourselves a sleep sanctuary, because, you know, when you're looking at devices right before you go to bed or right in bed, these are not the best times to be using devices, because it does interfere with our ability to rest and rejuvenate. So you see children, once they get off devices, they're quite wound up. It does the same thing to a human. It's just more to an adult, but it does obviously much more to a child. So, you know, we're up against a $1 trillion industry, And what we've done here in Australia, in Byron Bay, where we are, where I live is in the heart of activism in Australia. It's where we stopped fluoride in water, and it's the anti-vax capital of the country. It's the anti-5G capital of the country. We prevented fast food chains here and coal seam gas. I mean, the people where I live really stand up for our freedoms, and we start to make changes with our behaviours and our interactions with these corporations. And I think that's needed on a global scale. You know, this is where we're at now in society.
Where are you? Where is that? What did you say? Where is Bryan Shire exactly? Where is that?
Byron Bay. Byron Bay is known as like a coastal region on the east coast of Australia, between sort of an hour below Gold Coast, or, you know, sunny Queensland.
So you're between Gold Coast and Sydney? Sydney. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, lucky you. It's so beautiful there. You know, I've been to Australia, and I love Melbourne. I just loved it there. I thought that was one of the places that, of all the places I've been in the world, I thought if I were to pick a place where I could actually live, it would probably be Melbourne until recently.
Until recently.
Yeah. So, you know, I did an interview last week, as a matter of fact, with Daniel DeBon. You may have heard me say that. He's the founder of Defender Shield. And I do have these air tubes. In fact, I'm going to make it a priority as soon as I get done with our interviews this morning, because I have this one, but it's got this type of an adapter on it. And I need the square flat one for my phone. And so I plug this one in when I do interviews on the computer, but I need to have one for my, it's like that. It's the same thing. Did you get it from them? Is that a Defender Shield?
Yes.
One?
Yes. Yes.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. So I need to get one. In fact, that's going to be the first thing I'm going to do when I'm done with all my phone calls this morning, is because I have that flat, my phone has this kind of an adapter. So I have to get one that's for that. So so you're up against a $1 trillion industry. Have you kept 5G out of your community there?
Yeah, we kept it out for a year, and only last month they upgraded the very first tower to 5G. And it's 700 meters away from a Steiner school, so there was a lot of community activity, and we presented with, you know, to the parent body of this school. And essentially a lot of people are disillusioned, I guess, on how deep this issue really goes. And I'm going to get into that with you today, because it's not just the tower that is the issue with 5G. It's that the infrastructure requires that there are small cell antennas. Now, small cells are like backpack size antennas that they want to put every 2 to 250 meters in urban areas, so down your street. And what that will create is this densification of millimeter waves. So where millimeter waves start is at 26 gigahertz, right? And right now in Australia, we have just had our auction, and it's just been auctioned off. But we've been running at 3.5. So 26 gigahertz is where millimeter waves begin forming. And these are like laser beams, silent bullets, like traveling everywhere. And the idea is that your baby's nappy will be able to talk to your milk carton, will be able to talk to your iPhone, will be able to talk to your bed, to your bike. It's the interconnection of
the
what's called
the
Internet of Things, right?
Right.
And essentially what they want is for us as our human bodies to become a thing on the internet. And I'll get into that, because I think that's what a lot of people want to see and hear. And essentially what we've got going on right now is that we are looking now to our council, Byron Shire Council, to give us the forward plans of where this 5G infrastructure will go. Because this is where it becomes really dangerous. It's such a dense, it's, you know, outside kids' bedroom windows, on utility poles, on bus shelters, and so on and so forth. And it is a really dystopian future that we end up walking ourselves into, because basically every human being will be having a satellite over their head that they can be tracked and traced. This is, you know, they want to blanket the earth with 5G. So the wellness industry stand to lose a great deal, because what kind of wellness exists in a world where you cannot escape from these harmful frequencies?
You know, it's interesting because the first time I really started looking into this was maybe about a year and a half ago. And I remember saying in our clinic, you know, at Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center, which is just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, for those that are listening, we have 3 nurse practitioners, a physician assistant. There's 2, soon to be a third doctor, thank God. I mean, that's just an answer to prayer. I finally, you know, finally found another physician. And I said to Autumn, who's one of my primary nurse practitioners there, I said, you know, we may need to change how we view patients when they come in for new patient visits. And, you know, how we would normally assess their physical symptoms, you know, with taking a history, you know, maybe we need to put at the head of that history is what is your EMF and your Wi-Fi exposure? Because if people are coming in with fatigue, brain fog, sleep disturbances, chronic pain issues, GI disturbances, primarily, I mean, I can't tell you out of 4 new patients in one day, I would say that 3 out of 4 of them, their chief complaint is fatigue, you know? And so putting at the head of that checklist, what is your 5G exposure? Now, I have had a couple of people who've taken some training, and I think the one guy actually went to Australia and took training about actually being able to go into people's homes and do an analysis of where their bedroom is in relationship to their 5G and all these different things. And it was actually, you know, Daniel DeBon who said last week, you know, like just exactly what you said about taking responsibility for your own environment. And so putting that all together, I think there's a lot of symptoms that are probably caused by that. I think you can do an assessment in your own home and to do as much as you can by like changing your headsets and turning off your Wi-Fi at night. And I have to admit, I'm the world's worst about looking at my phone right before I go to bed. And I do turn off the Wi-Fi, but I do use it at an alarm clock. But it's 2 arm lengths away from me, so it makes me get up out of bed to go turn it off. So that's the whole point. You know, I have to get it. You have to get it away from me far enough to get up, to actually get up. But after you're out of the cocoon of your house, I mean, you just walk out your front door and you're just, like you said, bombarded with these bullets. So what do you do from that point forward? I mean, if you clean up all of your stuff in your house and take your Wi-Fi away from your kids and hardwire your computers, but all you have to do is get in your car, which is loaded with Wi-Fi, and you walk out your front door and none of the rest of your neighbors care. So where do you go with that?
Well, that's a very good question because we're now operating at a quintillion times more radiation than what our natural systems provide us. So it's a huge number. And you know, the science is very clear on this, and that is that independent research is showing that it's having a biological effect. So what do we do when you wake up in the morning and you're surrounded by this technology? You have to start standing up. You've got to wake up. You've got to see that there is a correlation. And one of the first things you need to do is reestablish your behavior with technology. And a lot of the time, what we focus on here in Byron Shire and the Northern Rivers is, you know, we have been lobbying our council to put up moratoriums, you know, and we have community engagement here that are preventing these towers from being upgraded. Now, I don't think that's a luxury that a lot of people have, to be honest, but that's something that we have. And, you know, this is not about where we're at now. This is about where it's going, even with 5G and 6G. We've got to think ahead. And if we are going to just sit around and wait for things to manifest rather than manifesting things that we want to see, you see, we want to see a world with safe technology. In Byron Shire, we've got fiber optic cabling. Essentially, we could have the internet faster, more efficient and safer than 5G. 5G is not about, you know, downloading a movie a minute. 5G is absolutely about surveillance. It's a military-grade technology. So military gigahertz, they start at 95 gigahertz, and we have a spectrum here in Australia that allows for up to 300 gigahertz.
Wow.
And so if 95 can do crowd control, can literally burn skin, what are they thinking putting up a spectrum up to 300?
Well, and then just couple that with the nanobot technology and the hydrogel and all of this messenger RNA and these transgene things that they're injecting everybody with, mm-hmm. which is absolutely a depopulation agenda. And the ones that are left are going to be cyborg nanobots and actually tied up to the Internet of Things. I mean, that's, you're right. It's not only about where we are, but what's going to happen to humanity in general? I mean, what's going to happen? You know, you read a lot and you see it, like even on Defender Shield, and there's a lot of people who sell things, little things to put on the back of your phone and all that stuff, or things that you like. There used to be this thing called a Q-Link and all these things that you're supposed to wear. Do you think any of those things work?
I think it's a Band-Aid on a tumor.
On a what?
To be honest, on a tumor.
What's a tumor?
A brain tumor.
Oh, a
putting
tumor.
A Band-Aid. Aussie accent.
On a tumor. You said a tumor. I thought it was some sort of
a Band-Aid on a tumor. Okay. I do think it's putting a Band-Aid on a tumor. Wow. I studied marketing, so my background is obviously marketing, and one of the first, or this actually was the first lecture I ever went to, and it was an auditorium with 700 people. And this lecturer said, I'm going to tell you one story, and if you can't relate to this story, I need you to leave. And the story was this, that his uncle had owned a hairdressing salon for 25 years. He was the only salon in town, and he had a big sign, $20 haircuts. And across the road was opening up a new hair salon, and they put up a sign, and they said, we will be selling $5 haircuts. So everybody was going up to Joe and saying, Joe, you're not competitive. You know, you've got to change your price. There's nobody's going to come to get haircuts here anymore. And Joe was just silent. And the day came where the other hairdressing salon opened up. And Joe came to his salon and he took down his $20 haircut sign. He put up a new sign. And that sign said, we fix $5 haircuts for $20. It said, welcome to marketing. And that is what we're up against. We're up against perception. We're up against a propaganda machine. And unless we can outsmart them based on how we ourselves can gather and educate within our own communities and we change the perception, these industries are not going to do anything other than tell us a story that they want us to hear. This is why, you know, these Marvel films, all these characters in films, they have masks on. They're always hiding their faces. They're normalizing behavior where heroes are hiding. And the truth is, heroes don't hide. Heroes come forward. They come onto the front lines. They show their face and they do the hard work. And this is what we need. We need everyday frontline heroes to stand up and say, we can see through this industry. We understand what they're doing. And we're not going to allow for it anymore. We need civil disobedience and not cognitive dissonance. Now, I just recently had an interview with, I don't know if you know, Alison McDowell. But she speaks about the fourth industrial revolution. So people can look that up on the UK Gov website. And she talks about how it's, you know, this is direct from the website. In fact, I might just bring it up and have a read. It says that it's on a scale, speed and complexity that is unprecedented. It is characterized by a fusion of technologies such as artificial intelligence, gene editing and advanced robotics. That is blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological worlds. It will disrupt nearly every industry in every country, creating new opportunities and challenges for people, places, and businesses to which we must respond. Now, I want to explain artificial intelligence, AI, is a control of systems by big tech robots rather than humans. Gene editing is engineering people like we would do with GMO crops. Advanced robotics, that's like nanotech, which you spoke into just now, Dr. Sherry, and smart dust that can put microscopic robots into your body and monitor and change your bodily functions. Now, the 5G wireless network is essential to establish this wireless control grid of the Internet of Things and thus the Internet of Bodies. So they can literally control our bodies.
Yeah, well, you
so
know, it's interesting.
It's not about faster internet.
No, it's not. And boy, this hour has gone really fast. And I'm looking forward to I'm glad we've got another interview coming up here on our deep dive. And so, because this is, so tell them your name so I don't butcher it.
It's Renate Stryloffer. You can follow me on one word, We Are Not Sam, on Instagram. And our website is wearenotsam.com, where we have a petition where we're urging people to boycott 5G phones. That 489 million 5G phones are expected to go on the market this year. And these are literally the remote controls that talk to this infrastructure. So if you want to disconnect that connection between, you know, the 5G infrastructure and your body, you have to boycott 5G phones. That is the first and most pressing remote control to prevent this, you know, this catastrophic Orwellian endgame.
Boy, that, boy, did that sum it up. When I'm furiously taking notes over here because everything you're saying is so important. I can't wait to that we get this posted up on our podcast and get to go back and listen to it again, which I hope everybody here will do, because almost every word that comes out of your mouth needs to be transcribed because it's so important. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, it's interesting because way back when, at the beginning of March last year, when all of this stupid plandemic crap started hitting us, you know, people were saying, what are they doing? I said, this is all moving us into the transhumanism movement, artificial intelligence, wiring us up to the cloud. What goes up can come down. And so, you know, if they've got us wired up to the Internet of Things, oh, isn't that fun? All I have to do is think about it. It shows up from Amazon, right? And so now all the messages and all the everything's that can come down, because once you're connected, you're connected. They have wanted, they've been pushing towards a cashless society for a really long time now. And so we'll get that mark on our hand or our forehead, and all this like getting us used to having a gun pointing to us, our heads, you know, taking our temperature. I mean, I can't tell you how many hands I've smacked in the last year. You know, when people come at me, I just smack them away, just flat them away, swat them away like a fly. And I'm not kidding. I literally do that. And then they sort of like, it's like they stop their coma and they go, what? I go, you can take my temperature here if you feel the necessity to do that. You know, because we're getting used to people scanning our barcode on our forehead. And also, they're going to kill a bunch of us. So they're getting used to us putting, seeing people put guns to our heads. And now that we're not touching each other, we're 6 feet apart, we're masked up, we're looking at everybody as though they're non-human, which is the intent of the exercise, is so that we stop seeing and feeling and connecting and communicating with each other as humans. You know, I hear these ads on the radio sometime that are, you know, they say, we follow CDC guidelines and we wear masks and we wear gloves and we have a touchless checkout. And I go, thank you so much for letting me know that about your business. I'll be sure to not come there, you know, because who wants that? Who wants that? So everything that you're doing is this boycott of the smartphones. Because I'm going to need a new phone. So this one's only 2 years old, but it's really acting up. So I'm going to need a new one. How do you get a phone that does not have 5G on it? Because aren't they already wired like that?
So the iPhone 12 is a 5G-enabled phone. You can get new versions of previous models, iPhone 8, et cetera. These have lower what's called specific absorption rate, so they have less absorption of radiation into our bodies. And I would urge anyone that is looking to buy a new phone not to get sold on all the new, you know, picture styles and gadgets. And this is all the marketing to get you onto this surveillance system. So we need to outsmart them and we need to boycott 5G-enabled phones. And you can simply go and buy a phone that isn't 5G-enabled and you'll have a new device. And that is only, obviously, if, you know, you're having serious issues with your current non-5G phone.
So what about, like, you know, iPhones versus Androids versus some of these other smartphones that are coming on market? Can you speak to any of those?
Well, what I can tell you is that there were studies that were done, because the thing about Sam, I'm just going to go back to him for just a second, because I think we need to circle back to this dummy, because, you know, the safety testing is done on a plastic mannequin. When they measure Sam, they don't even measure against his plastic head. They measure 10 millimeters away. They have what's called a spacer to keep the phone at a 10 millimeter distance. That's why in your user guides, they tell you to keep your phone at a 10 millimeter distance, which effectively means you should not be holding a phone. So when you see people, especially children, putting them in their back pockets, their front pockets, the top four diseases that kill our children and our young adults are brain cancer, thyroid, testy, and rectal cancer are the top four places where we use our mobile phones.
Say that again.
Brain, thyroid, rectal, and testicular cancer. And these are the top four places where we place our mobile phone. We're talking front pocket, back pocket, against our head, etc. And so if people can look into that, Daphna Tachova, who she heads up the 5G Wireless Harms Project for Children's Health Defence, she speaks into that quite a lot, and she's taken that to court. And I think that's a really important point, is that when you see children or your friends talking with the phone against their ear, tell them that the testing that's done isn't actually qualifying them to use that phone against their head, because they're using it at a 10 millimeter distance. And when they don't, when they put the phone against the dummy's head, he doesn't even pass his own test.
You know, and I would add one other one that's probably true is breast cancer. Because women that put their phone in their bra when they exercise, they work out, or they go walking, or they want to free up their hands because of their kids, and so they've got their phone inside their breast. I heard, what was her name? There's a breast surgeon. Somebody will probably think of it. Devon, somebody. I heard her at a conference years ago talking about that, and that how they finally figured out that it was the phones was that, you know, most women, when they get breast cancer, first of all, it's upper outer quadrant. This was not upper outer quadrant. It was right here, like in the front of their chest. The second thing is that when you get breast cancer, usually it's lobular or ductal carcinoma. It's usually in a mass. And this was spiculated. So it like had little spots like this across your breast, of a breast cancer across your breast tissue. And they finally figured out that it was from people constantly putting their cell phones in their bra when they were exercising or whatever they were doing. But it was in here, so they had on their things, and that radiation went right to their breast tissue. And so I would add, you know, what you said about brain, thyroid, rectal, and testicular in children, I would probably add it's a big contributor to breast cancer in women also. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I definitely would agree with that. We've got the research that shows that there is a correlation. And I think you were speaking about Deborah Davis.
Deborah Davis, that's it. Thank you. Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
That's mine. Yes. So, yeah, I definitely think that, the way we use our phones is definitely, there's a correlation between where we place our phones and where there are known diseases. So I just wanted to quickly just talk about the parallels just before we go between vaccinations and 5G, because I think a lot of people coming onto this call, they're curious, like, why is it from the same playbook? Well, because the testing is rigged. You know, you've got testing that's done with the vaccine industry, and in the big telco industry favours the industry. That is absolutely the case. And, you know, we talk about the rollout of this COVID vaccine, claiming that, you know, there's safety, when in the same way 5G and wireless industry, there's no proof of safety. And these are two experimental things that are being rolled out simultaneously right now. You know, there's no testing for the full schedule of vaccines, similar to the way that there's no testing on the cumulative effects of wireless radiation. And, you know, we've both got the fact that the media is not reporting on the health effects in the research. And, you know, there's a reward system. I don't know if anyone knows about Pavlov's dog. It's a psychology conditioning experiment that was done. And, you know, you sign up to 5G and you can get better functionality and picture messaging. If you get a vaccine, you can go to school, you can travel, you can get a donut, you know, whatever. There's this reward for the right behavior. And we have to make sure we do not get pulled into that marketing. Because it really is. And this profit over people, I mean, we can see right now, we've got 489 million 5G smartphones coming on the market. We have millions of these COVID vaccines coming on the market that have never been properly safety tested this year. And it's really, really hard to go to court for these damages. It's really, really hard. And what we know from both our camps, Dr. T, is that we've got so much illness. You know, these companies are going to be made accountable one way or another, in the same way that asbestos and tobacco that favoured, you know, these industries. It took decades to prove it in court, but we will get there. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to be harmed along the way. And we've got to stop being coerced. You know, this is, you know, if you're not up to date, you can't do this. If you don't get a 5G phone, you get peer pressure from your peer group. You know, Hollywood is normalizing 5G and vaccines right now, and we've got to step away from this coercion, because the corruption that's embedded in both of these industries is really terrifying. It's terrifying what they're capable of. And the reasons for why, we can go into another time, because it goes very deep into why this agenda is what it's doing. And I think we're going to leave some space for some further exploration down the track. But there is a lot of there's a lot of similarities between playbooks of how they're managing these two discussions around 5G and the COVID vaccine.
Do you think that, now this has been a discussion that's come up a lot, since we've injected not only the COVID shots that, for the listeners here, I'm going to be doing, later this morning, I'm going to be doing a little video on explaining how each one of these shots actually work. I mean, how the Johnson & Johnson / AstraZeneca shot, which injects transgenetic material in an adenovirus shell versus Pfizer and Moderna shots, how they work. And I'm going to show a real simple sort of thing that people can understand that. I've thought that perhaps now with this new transmission thing that we're talking about, because I'm trying to get people to stop saying the word shedding, because shedding applies to vaccines as we know them and whole viruses that can pass on illness. This is not a shedding. This is a transmission. Something is being transmitted from person to person. I think it's the spike protein, and I'm wondering if that spike protein is somehow sensitive to these 5G technologies, and is there something that's actually changing the frequency? Once they inject the shot, you start manufacturing the spike proteins inside of you, because it's a protein, and we know proteins are sensitive to frequencies. Do you think that this 5G is somehow changing that spike protein that's supposed to be like a virus but has nothing to do with the virus? The spike protein is now being transformed somehow by these frequencies, and that's part of what makes it more easily sheddable, maybe, is because it's a frequency attached to the protein. I'm sure, like the rest of us, we're trying to figure it out because we don't really know quite yet. Because, and I said at the beginning of this, people way back when, they said, so when we started releasing these shots here in the U.S. in December, and they said, Dr. Tenpenny, when do you think all this stuff is going to start happening? I go, give it about 4 months, because it takes about 4 months for our bodies to go, what the hell is going on here? And our bodies to, make those proteins, make the antibodies to the proteins. And I learned that number from a group of immunologists. I was on several conference calls with them, a group of immunologists from all over Europe. And the one, I believe she was from Belgium, was the one who said, or maybe the Netherlands, but she said, it takes about 4 months for the full, after you get the second shot, it takes about 4 months when you stop injecting for the full ramifications for that to start ramping up. Well, here we are. We're 4 months into this, and we're seeing all of this transmission stuff with the periods and the bleeding and the infertility in med, the sperm counts going to zero. So we're all trying to figure out what's actually transmitting. Have you looked into that? And do you have any insight into what those frequencies might be doing to our own proteins or to that spike protein?
I mean, this is a discussion. I mean, the media here in Australia have heavily attacked this area for our, for where we stand with 5G. We've had all the major news, stations come here and do reports on us, and the one thing they're always pushing is, do you believe that 5G causes COVID? Like, they're just trying so hard to get us to say yes or no, which we, to be honest with you, we know that wireless radiation is an immune disruptor. It does deplete oxygen in the body. There are many things that it does to the body that could, to some people, they could see that as correlating to, why people are getting sick today. But for us to say that it is or it isn't, we can't give a concrete answer. But what we can say is that there's definitely, since 5G has come out onto the market, there's definitely been issues. So where that will take us in terms of in the future, when we look back at all of this and we can connect the dots, I believe that 5G would be part of that story.
I totally agree. And I think that, I have a really good friend who I'm going to be doing an interview with here in another couple of weeks, Christian Osch. He lives in Switzerland, and he's kind of my go. Now I've got a new go-to expert about 5G. That's going to be you. But Christian has been involved with this in Europe, for probably a couple of years now. And he was the first one that started telling me probably a year ago. He said, 5G is going to be nothing. China's already rolling out 6G. And I said, will there be any humans left? He said, probably not. And he was pretty, like, you know, Christian's my age, a little bit younger than me. And he said that. And he's got grandkids and, you know, and we look at children and grandchildren. We look at humanity and we look at what they have done in a year in terms of shutting everybody down and getting everybody rolling up their sleeves. And, you know, there's 82 vaccines for COVID in the developmental pipeline. They're about ready to go. About ready to go. They're ready to be released onto the market. 82. 82 people. Let that sink in. There are, in the U.S., there are 67 shots that have been approved across the spectrum of 17 different illnesses. It's going to be 162 injections for a coronavirus. Is everybody who's been so willing to run to the front of the line going to run to the front of the line for the rest of those two as soon as they start going mutant, more deadly, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So, boy, this has been great. I can't wait for our deep dive interview here in a couple of minutes because we're going to really go deep. So as we just close out here, now, just as you guys know, we're on our secondary channel here at Instagram. You know, it's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny Official. Thank you, everybody who's shown up over here this morning, because they took down yesterday our Instagram page. So thank you for showing up. We're going to be moving to a new platform soon. Please follow us on Podbean. Please go to podbean.com and follow the Tenpenny Files until we get the rest of our stuff set up. So, Renette, please, in the last 3 minutes, please close out where people can follow you, because they will want more of this. And we will have this posted probably in the next 24 hours up on the podcast.
Absolutely. You can follow us on Instagram. That's where we're most active. It's one word, We Are Not Sam. And you can sign our boycott petition on our website, wearenotsam.com. And I would just urge people, like my friend Jambi says, he says 5G is simply a symptom of our disconnection with nature. And I would urge people to earth, you know, to really find their way back to nature. And this is where we really start to go back to basics with each other and the Mother Earth. And I think that's where we stand the greatest chance to turn the tide.
Well, we're all, you know, what isn't it, Benjamin Franklin, who said that if we don't all hang, if we're going to all hang individually, if we don't all hang together or something like that, that we've got to do this all over the world, because this is the satanic assault on humanity. It's Satan's last hurrah. And it's, they're coming at us from injecting us, vibrating us and frying us from the inside out, controlling our minds, controlling our brains. And so all of us are in this together. I am so grateful to get to know you. And I just know this will be the first of many. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with everybody here this morning on this deep dive. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful. Thank you for saying what all that is. And so one of the things I always do at the end of all of my broadcasts, because I think it's so important that we keep our hearts and minds focused on God, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. So I always close out all of my interviews with my favorite verse from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12, which is rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him with everything, not just the good or the bad, with everything. Give Him all the glory. Love to you, Renette. I thank you so much again. Thank you for everybody who came in this morning. Until we see you again next week with Dr. T this week, you guys have a great week. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.